Susie and the Banshees and Hong Kong Garden played because we're talking garden, sort of. We're talking about the word garden, so a very different kind of garden with my guest today, Jean Rees-Salein. Good afternoon, Jean.
Oh, hello, Lee.
You've got a bit of a croaky throat,
yes,
haven't
just
you?
A touch, yes.
So you'll be taking sips of water throughout the interview. That's fine.
Make yourself at home.
You make yourself at home, indeed. So tell me about the word garden.
Well, the word garden has been alive and kicking since 2003. And what we do is we bring people together with mixed skills. So we bring archaeologists in this particular project, historians, filmmakers, photographers, storytellers, to tell new stories. Because we work, this project is with the National Lottery Heritage Fund. So they funded the project with quite a lot of funding, really, to supply a really amazing story. The landscape here is very unique, and there's a lot of unique history behind it. And during the Civil War and the end of the Civil War, almost at 1650, there was a big battle in Dunbar where a series of soldiers were really, there was a big massacre because things were happening. It was very rough and very, 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 very poor. And the result is that those soldiers were marched down to Durham. Some of them lived and died at Durham. Some of them eventually were buried at Durham, and in 2013, their skeletons, their remains, were dug up when a new cafe was being built.
So this is,
at Durham University.
Durham in the northeast?
In the northeast.
Okay.
They were billeted in the cathedral and then buried in an open grave close to the cathedral. So this was all hidden until they found this in 2013. We'd already started doing work on it, and the germ of the story became real. We didn't know at that point just how hidden the story here on the Wash is. It isn't any longer, because we produced a story and a film and a book, the publication, called Origins. The title of the actual project is, it gives everything away, really. It's called The Ooze Washers, The Scottish Soldiers, The Ooze Washers, and The Origins of Landscape Change in the Fens.
So what's the link between this area and those Scottish soldiers?
Well, what happened was the archaeologists were very keen to see what was going on down here, because a number of those surviving Scottish soldiers, after about a year after the battle, were marched down, we were brought down, they walked all the way here.
Wow.
From Durham. Tough journey. They died on the way. They were starving, dysentery. It was desperate. And of course, here, the first drain here was built around 1642 by the Duke of Bedford. And it didn't work. So they tried to then, right, let's build another one with Vermoyden and the soldiers. The soldiers were marched here. They worked with Dutch, with Irish people, and with some locals. There was a lot of agro, really, going down, because, of course, it changed the traditional way of life. So, and it cut off the farmers from their land here. And this was all actually recorded because the land was eventually bought by a group of people called adventurers.
So you had the Scottish soldiers coming down. How many of them were there?
We think... Oh, I knew you'd ask me lots of numbers. By the time they came down here, they were working with thousands of people, shoulder to shoulder, on the drain itself, from Erith to Denver. Now, there are even queries about how many people died at the Battle of Dunbar in 1650. I don't want to say how many. It could be 177. It could be more than that. But we've got various figures. We have a few names. But what we'd really like to do as part of this project also is to get and find and hopefully speak to descendants.
Yes, because now, did they stay here, these soldiers, after the drain had been dug?
Well, you see, this is another thing we're not 100% sure. They weren't paid. They were paid less than the locals. And, of course, if they tried to escape, they were hung. There were notices all over the Wash and around the area to say, if you capture somebody, this guy's going to be hung. Sorry, this lovely soldier is going to get hung. And so it was the turmoil was devastating. And some did go back home. The surviving ones, we think, were released to go back, but they would be in quite a bad state. We think We're almost sure there are going to be descendants here. We're almost sure someone or other stayed because they did meet the local people. There was, as I said, a lot of agro between them, but there was also a lot of change politically, economically. It changed the way people worked the drain. It also saved the land from being flooded.
And is it still there, the drain?
Of course.
Is it?
It saves you and I from getting sunk. Yes, no, it's there. And it's very expensive to upkeep. And there is work going on it continuously. But it's a major story because the story itself is a short one that we are telling. It's sort of 1650 to 1653. And the drain was able to be built at that point because the weather was quite dry in different times at different points during that time, made of clay and soil and silt and things. And they dug physically with spades, shoulder to shoulder from Erie to Denver.
Wow. And you put this together in the publication in what, pictures, words? How does it look?
Well, we've had two great things. We've done workshops in schools, so we're trying to let the local children know about this. Hope to do more later. We've had open community days where we've had various history societies and archaeology societies. And then we had a lovely two-day celebration at Welney Wetland. So there's more to do. But the important thing is that Durham University Archaeology Department came down to be included in the work we're doing. So they provided a drone, they provided knowledge, all kinds of amazing specialist knowledge. So we converted that and combined it with a historical human interest story and really significant primary source material. Someone on the project went to Cambridge Central Library and researched the actual minute books of 1650. You can imagine seeing these amazing signatures and so on. And Peter transcribed that into part of the book. So that forms a significant part of the book. We've then turned that story into the human one, where we have a girl called Coventina who was born where the soldiers were raised, where the banners were raised, who was trying to find her soldier, who in fact we've got there was a facial reconstruction done by John Moores University. It's an amazing project. And we created the story how she came down from Durham, well, from a place called Dunure. So the stories are called Dunure to Denver. And her name is Coventina.
So and the legacy of this project. So you've gone into we've got schools.
Yes, and the thing is, the actual point about the whole project is that the Heritage Lottery Fund people, what we're actually doing is finding new material. We're turning that into learning materials. So the publication has the story, has the science, has pictures, recordings of the project itself being photographed. The children are in the book. The days out are in the book, you know, the day at Welney. That's all there. And it's a learning document from cover to cover. It's got primary source material in. It's illustrated with the story, and it also with the for the adventurers part of that. Highly significant piece of work. Seriously, it hasn't been seen before. And that has a big picture of the adventurer's book, the cover. And there are tracts from that. It shows the weather, how it was then. It shows the construction. It shows how the men stood in mud, died on the job. And that is a thing that really drove my story about the story in its whole thing in itself.
I was going to say to you, how has it felt to get to know this story? You say it's only a short period of time, but the human impact geographical impact is amazing,
yes,
isn't it?
Believe it or not, there are people, of course people are interested in their own ancestry, aren't they? So there's a big move behind the finding out, is one of my ancestors a Scottish soldier? Now, we do know there's some with one side, and we do know there's people with the maternal side or the paternal side, whichever they've got, and we're looking for people who have both even, and who can go that far back. But in terms of doing that sort of work, the thing that happens again on these projects is that the people working on the projects, like artists, we've got an artist with an artist map who it was drawn before picture, an illustrated map, before the drains were there, when there were only sort of 7 or 8 or more, slightly more, major islands, Ely, Little Port, Chatteris, those sorts of places, were actually visible. People lived on those, and that's where the stilts came in, and the boats, and all the lovely fen, marshy stuff. It was very dangerous. You could actually die, and people did. And to do this is very important, which is why I was quite keen to come today and talk about it, and it would be great if people come to look. So the book will be available as a learning instrument, basically, because there are references going back to, we reference the images in the book, in the story, we reference the people in the book, in the story, in the adventurers. It's all fully referenced. But for another name, it's a textbook.
And people who might be descended from those soldiers, would they know by their names, specific Scottish names?
It's interesting. There are Scottish names I know in one of the graves, in the graveyard, so people do their own research. And there are still names around. But I think in the Fen, people are quite shy, you know, and not everyone wants to know everything about their history. Why not? This is quite important because of the nature of the change in the structure of the landscape and how we work and live, and the fact that we're here in Cambridge today.
So you're launching this publication on Wednesday at the Babylon Arts Gallery in Ely, and this is open to everyone? Can anyone
Absolutely.
Come?
Absolutely. We've sent loads and loads of invitations, some personal invitations to people who have gave us. We had a lot of advice from archaeologists, from the local archaeology department here in Cambridge, from historians far and wide. And yes, it's most definitely, we want you to come because we want to find out more.
And if people want to find out more about the project generally, it's the wordgarden.org.uk.
Yes, and also you'll eventually find it on the Babylon, if you look on Babylon Gallery, Art Gallery, Art, you'll find it there as well.
Thank you, Jane. It's a fascinating project. What next for you after this?
Ooh. A little rest. And then a few more lovely things to go on, I'm sure.
Thank you, Jane. Good luck with Wednesday and with the publication.
Thank you.